I want to talk about something I'm calling everyday impermanence. Impermanence is one of the three characteristics of existence in core teaching of the Buddha, along with the unsatisfactoriness of life and the awareness that we're all conditioned beings. So I was on a retreat this last week, and it was a self-retreat. I was on my own in a cabin in the Redwoods in the Santa Cruz Mountains, which is a very special place. I spent a lot of time there when I lived in the Bay Area, and really find it exquisite, and I'm just so drawn to the trees, the redwood trees. And so there are a number of Tibetan retreat centers there, and this is one that I went to, Vajrapani. And they have cabins where you can do personal retreats, and it's away from everything. They bring you your food, so you don't have to see anybody or talk to anybody, and you can heat it up in your little cabin on the camp stove. And so it's really a retreat. If you've never done a residential retreat, it's really, or an extended retreat, even just a few days, because this was just 4 days. It's a release from distraction. It's an opportunity to take a step back from your daily life, and it's an opportunity to really still and get quiet and be, and you know, those, you know, we sit for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, and that's excellent. But just, it seems like just as you're starting to settle down, it's time to get on with your life again. And so this is an opportunity to really slow down and still. And it was a beautiful space, just a beautiful space. And I was walking on Thursday, and I was, they have this one trail on the property that just goes down, and you're just in the trees, and it's, for me, that's like my heart place. And so I was sitting in this one spot for the longest time, and I was thinking, am I going to get up and move, or am I going to stay, or how long am I going to stay here? And I don't know how long I sat there, but I eventually got up and I left. But I noticed what happens for me is this tendency and to go, wow, this is an amazing experience. This is really special. And so that's the awareness of the present moment. And then the thought kicks in, will I ever come back here? And then it moves into longing. And then it moves into trying to figure out when I can get back. And it's, last week I talked about the second arrow, where we have an experience and then we just kind of pile stuff on top of it. And that is movement into the second arrow. I didn't go there, but I could see it. I could watch it. I'd like, oh, look, this is the tendency, because I have spent a lot of my life there. I would go camping in this. We used to camp all the time in this really pretty spot in the Eastern Sierra. And I'd have such a good time. And then then it would be over, and I'd be like, oh, will I ever come back here? And it would be just like, And so much heaviness hanging, because this impermanence, this really pleasant experience is ending, and how, and I'm so attached to it, and how do I get it back? And of course, even if you do try and do it, and I often think of this, if you go out with some friends and you go to a dinner or you have a party, and it's really a fun time, and then you try and recreate it, you invite the same people and you have the same food and you listen to the same music, and it's never the same. So that is this quality of recognition of impermanence, this journey our mind takes to try and latch on to something that's ephemeral, that's already passed. I've walked out of this forest and I'm still, you know, I got my hands behind me. I didn't do it, but I can. This is a tendency that we have, just to latch on to it, to relationships, to all kinds of things. And so to recognize that things just end. You come, you go somewhere, You stay four nights and you get in your car and you leave and it's over and you're on to the next thing. And you can have this reflection and a pleasant memory and a thinking of, wow, that was really a beautiful experience, without that second arrow of wanting and craving and you know, that kind of contraction that makes it so uncomfortable. This is that everyday impermanence that we go through all the time. A sunrise. There's the sunrise. Or, you know, last week there was the eclipse. It's like, oh, there's the eclipse. And then it was over. And it's like, wow, that was great. You know, when's the next one? 40 years. Oh, what am I going to be doing? How am I going to make my plans for that one? It's like, I probably won't be alive. And if I am, I might not know what an eclipse is. So, you know, it's just watching that tendency to grasp, to cling. And so this, you know, we have this everyday impermanence. It's with friendships that come and they go. You know, we have friends that we're really tight with, and then we just move in different directions and they end. Or the breath. That's a beautiful example of impermanence. There's the inhale. And then the exhale. You know, we don't hold on to this inhale forever. You hold your breath. It doesn't end well. You know, meals. They end. Yummy, yummy, yummy. It's over. And I'm talking primarily, we want to hold on to pleasant experiences. The flip side of impermanence is that unpleasant experiences also are impermanent. They also pass. Sometimes they don't pass as quickly as we want them to, but it's a recognition of, you know, this too shall pass. Everything shall pass. Sometimes things pass in geologic time. Sometimes things pass in a nanosecond, but everything's impermanent. And really, it's all about the present. That's our practice, is this clarity, developing this clarity of really all we have is right here. There is only this moment. Each moment, each breath, this experience, it's pleasant, it's unpleasant, it's neither. And the practice, when we sit, we're practicing coming back. How do we stay grounded? You know? How do we stay grounded where we are? Finding our feet, connecting with the earth. That's another beautiful thing I appreciate about getting out into the natural world. It's like we are nature. We're not separate from nature. We are nature. I read a book. I was doing some copyating for an old professor of mine for a book he wrote about the origin of politics in the Middle East. And it's really interesting. And one of the things he said I found most fascinating, he was talking about the shift into settled communities, no longer nomadic, but really settling and beginning to build this larger community that wasn't just knowing each other by sight, but that was bigger. And he said it was also at this point that we developed a different relationship with the natural world, and there began to be a separation. And I found that really interesting and intriguing, in that that's when we began to, instead of being part of it and interacting with it in the natural cycles, we began to see it as a commodity, as something that we could shift and shape and change and utilize. And that's continued for these 6,000 years. Obviously, we see the ramifications of it. So to reconnect with that, and that reconnect with the awareness that we are part of this, and the shifting and the changing. And so that when we reconnect with that, there's a grounding that happens that allows us to be stable, that allows us to have this foundation when there is all this movement. Because we're not just, you know, floating around like a balloon. We have a ground, we have a stability, that this present time awareness affords us. It's like right now, it's like this, that beginner's mind. What is this? What is this? What is this? Letting go of those preconceived ideas. And the trick is, how do we respond or relate? How do we relate to it? Do we respond? wisely, with clarity, with compassion, with kindness to each moment? Or do we react? Oh, this is not what I want. This is what I want to last longer. This is that, you know, in this place of craving or aversion. The Buddha just was so succinct in how he said it's all craving or aversion. There's a line in some 12-step literature that says it goes, it boils down to fear of losing something we have or not getting something we want, which I find really true. We want this or we don't want this, and we're going to lose what we have or not going to get what we want. It's craving and aversion. It's craving and aversion. If we can recognize that, the clarity that when we do slow down, and we are present, and we begin to drop below the story and say, what's the feeling? It may not even be verbal. It just may be, oh, there's a tightness. There's a tension in my belly, in my chest. There's a heaviness. There's a weight. Whatever it is, we say, what's here? What's below the story? And sometimes it takes us a while to disentangle or to really have some clarity around it. But that's where we're going, to have this clarity, to see that things are going to shift and they're going to change. You know, I when I got home, my husband was telling me that he bumped into a table and knocked off a plate off the table, and it broke, and it's one of our favorite plates. It was handmade, and it was like, oh, we both were like, oh, that's a shame. That was a really neat plate that we've had for years, and oh well. And, you know, impermanence, and to just be okay with that, because again, when you are attached to something, that's when the discomfort shows up. That's when the dukkha shows up. And this broken plate reminded me of a very famous story about Ajahn Chah, the wise Thai forest master from Thailand, who died about 32 years ago. They talk about, because monastics in this tradition don't own anything, but they live in this communal space. And the other monks noticed that he kept using the same cup, that he seemed to have an attachment to this particular teacup. And so they called him on it, and they went, Bhante, you seem to be favoring this particular teacup. And he said, it brings me pleasure. I do enjoy this cup, but to me, this cup is already broken. It's gonna break at some time, but I'm gonna appreciate it while it's here. And really, I listened to a talk when I was coming home yesterday. Someone sent me, it was her very first Dharma talk, and it was about impermanence. And she was talking about the recognition that we have to have that recognition of our lives as well are impermanent. And are we going to be present in our lives? Are we going to be lost in our minds, missing out on so much? What's the old line? Life happens when you're busy making other plans. And so instead, come back to be present, you know? My brother passed away in November, and this afternoon my niece, his daughter, had a little online memorial, and it was pretty much family, his current wife and his ex-wife. and other family members, and I was thinking, and then my niece had done a little slideshow. She'd done all these pictures, and it was sweet, and people were sharing stories. And I was looking at those pictures of him from a little kid. He was like 13 years older than me, so I didn't know him when he was a little kid. But then when I was little and he was like 11, 12, and all those iterations of a lifetime, they come and they pass. We're 4 years old, we're 10 years old, we're 20 years old, tomorrow's my birthday, I'll be 69 years old. And, you know, all these changes and comings and goings, and when we hold on, it's the attachment that makes it so painful. It's that clinging. And when we can make friends with anicca, impermanence, that is where freedom is. This cup is already broken. This plate is broken. This life is already over. This breath is already gone. This experience has passed because we're right here. There's a teaching called from this Tibetan sage. I think he lived about 1100 BC, Atisha. And there's some contemplations, and they're contemplations on death. But one of them is that each of us, right here, right now, each of us have less time left to live now than when I started this talk. That one always blows me away. It's like, oh. Even in such a small little increment, it's ooh, yeah, okay. That reminder. Everything's impermanent. And so the invitation is, you know, to recognize everyday impermanence. How can you make friends with it and notice those tuggings? And it's not saying that you're not sad when things pass. Absolutely. We're touched by experiences. Pleasant experiences that end, unpleasant experiences, relationships that end, people who pass. Everything comes to an end at some point. And to recognize our response to that, but to watch the tendency to cling or to change or recreate in some way, shape, or form. Can you just recognize and be with that? Find some ease in the reality of the moment. Find some ease in the impermanence, with this everyday impermanence that's just always there. So thank you so much, my friends, because even this little talk now is over. So I hope it was helpful in some way, shape, or form. And thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you for visiting Undefended Dharma. These teachings are freely offered. However, if you would like to make a donation to help support the technology that makes these podcasts possible, please visit marystankavage.org/support. Thank you.